So today is our last sermon through the benedictions that are in the Bible. We look at every single one. We looked at sort of a sampling, but as you know, these last few weeks we've been looking at these different benedictions. And today, to finish this sermon series, we look at the most common benediction that we find in the Bible. It's a benediction that basically appears in every book in the New Testament. Certainly, a sense of this you can find in different ways in the Old Testament as well. And that benediction is this, 1 Corinthians 16:23. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. If you're looking for a biblical catchphrase, you know, something that someone says a whole lot of, it's this benediction, this idea of a wish for the grace of the Lord Jesus. That's certainly one catchphrase you can go to if you're looking for biblical catchphrases. This idea of this wish for the grace of the Lord. We look at Paul, it's clearly Paul's favorite thing to say when you look at his letters. Paul brackets his letters with, it's talking about grace. He begins pretty much every single one of his letters saying something to the effect of grace to you, and then he ends each of his letters by saying grace be with you. Grace to you as you are about to read what I'm going to say to you. Grace be with you as you finish reading what I've said to you and as you go off into the world. Just to give you a sense of this, I'm going to just do a quick survey of all the different ways we see this benediction show up. So, Galatians 6:18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Philippians 4, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2 Thessalonians 3, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you or be with you all. 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 4, grace be with you. Titus 3:15, grace be with you all. Philemon, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So you get the point? Like this is the blessing that seems to be most, that Paul most goes to when he's speaking of blessings, he's speaking of benedictions. But we don't just see it in Paul's letters. We see it in other parts of the Bible as well. So, for example, Hebrews 13:25, grace be with all of you. And then the last verse in the last book of the Bible, here's the last thing you hear as you finish reading through the Bible, Revelation 22, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. So you remember at the beginning of the sermon series, we talked about how we'd be looking at benedictions, and benedictions are literally a good word from God to us, his blessing to us. We say them as a way to extend blessing to those we say them to, and we pray them as a way to receive God's blessing, his good word into our life. So it's worth noticing that grace is the blessing that is most spoken of in the Bible. It's worth us thinking about today the significance of the fact that if there's a blessing, a benediction we should most want to extend to people and receive from people, it's this, the blessing of grace. Grace is what we should most want to be in our lives. So let's take some time this morning to talk about grace. Let's start with this first question. What's the significance of grace? What's the importance of grace? The answer, I think, is this. It's because of what it is, what grace actually is. Grace is the word the Bible uses to basically describe God's goodness and favor towards us, right? So if you were to think of just all the things that we've looked at this whole sermon series, all the different benedictions, you wouldn't be wrong to think of grace as one word that can sum up all of it. Because if all those benedictions are, as we said, blessings, right? And blessings are basically God's good towards us, God's favor towards us. So think of all the things that we've mentioned over the last few weeks. We've talked about peace, and we've talked about sanctification. We've talked about God forming a covenant with us and preserving us unto eternal life and protecting our salvation. We've talked about all sorts of different things. We've talked about good works. All these things, all these blessings that we've talked about, all of those are expressions of grace. Ultimately, that's what we're talking about. God showing favor and goodness towards us. That's grace. And really, in that sense, this brings up another aspect of grace. If you think about all the stuff that we've talked about these last few weeks, you realize like, that's a whole lot. And so grace in the Bible is a way of just emphasizing the overwhelming nature of God's favor and goodness towards us. Just how much it is, just how generous and valuable and significant and powerful it is. It is so generous, so valuable, so powerful that we should always speak of grace as this favor and goodness that's undeserved. It's nothing, something we could ever pay or earn. It is 100% pure grade A gift. Grace is God's goodness and favor at such an overwhelming sense. All we can do is receive it as a gift. So that brings us, that's the significance and importance then of grace. I mean, here's one of the most powerful ways of expressing God leaning towards us in this beneficial way, in this overwhelmingly beneficial way. But then I think that brings up another aspect of grace to think about here, what I want to call the uniqueness of the Lord's grace. The uniqueness of the Lord's grace. You look at that verse, notice it talks about this grace being the Lord's grace. Not just any grace, but the Lord's grace. So there's something unique about it, given the source of this grace, this goodness and favor, that it's the Lord's grace. So what's unique about this? This generous, can't ever pay back, full-on gift, God's goodness and favor towards us. What's unique about it? I want to think about it in two ways. The general nature of the grace of the Lord, and then the specific nature of the grace of the Lord. So, the Lord's grace in general. When you think about it, every single day we have evidence of the general nature of the Lord's grace, that God is generally gracious to us human beings and to our planet. Every day is examples of the fact that we have a gracious God. It was evident from the fact that you woke up and our planet was still turning on its axis and still going around the sun. That's goodness and favor from the Lord that our world operates this way. It was evident by the fact that you walked into your kitchen, your living room, and there were enough oxygen molecules there for you to breathe. You didn't run out of oxygen this morning. It was evident by the fact that you could breathe. The graciousness of the Lord is shown by you were able to breathe this morning and feel and touch and taste and smell. We see the general nature of God's grace, that this God is not just any God. This Lord is not just any Lord, but he's a gracious Lord in the fact that you were able to take a drink of water and the hydrogen atoms and the oxygen atoms held together to form a water molecule, and you were able to drink that water. It didn't fall apart right as you brought it to your lips. Those atoms held together so you could still have water. See, these are things, I'm mentioning things that we take for granted, that we just normalize, right? And I talk about just ways in which our planet runs and our body operates, but I don't think we should take it for granted. This is evidence of a reality where there's someone keeping it together and holding it together, and we should not take that for granted. It is grace. A while ago, there was a computer game that came out, and the premise of this game was that you were in control of this sort of little tribe of people. So on your screen, there's this little tribe, and you could click a button and send them rain or send them sun. You could click a couple other buttons and bring food to their path. The whole point of the game was to sort of oversee their development as a tribe, right? And so you would do things that helped them learn how to build tools and settlements, how to sort of, again, develop as a people, and you did all these different things. That was sort of the point of the game. What's interesting, though, is in the different reviews of the game when it came out, what these reviews tended to emphasize is not like these sort of might call normal things to do, provide food, water for this tribe. It's the freedom to do whatever you wanted with this tribe. So a lot of the reviews, and in fact, the selling point of the game was to do like crazy things to this sort of group of people you controlled. To send rain, but have it all of a sudden turn to acid rain. Right? To have a river go by the tribe and have them be able to fish from the river, and then all of a sudden a sea monster jumps up and grabs one of them. You know, what it strikes me here is it's just how here's a game that gives people power and control, and how instantly we go into how we use that power and control for our enjoyment and for our benefit. I would argue what's true for that computer game is true in general, that when people in our world tend to have a lot of power and control, more often than not, we use it for our enjoyment, for our benefit, even at the expense of those who don't have the same power and control. You know, we're in a cultural moment now that's asking a lot of hard questions about power and control. And it should be said, what we're realizing is that when people who have authority have a lot of power and control and little accountability, little sort of checks and balances, what happens is that power and control tends to go haywire. It tends to result in things that we don't want to see happen. That the more godlike power and control we people have, the more often it tends to lead to hurt and to pain and to suffering for those who have that power and control exerted over them. That's why it's amazing to think about. That's why we should be thankful that we have a God who is not like us. We have a God who has power and control, and yet every single day is evidence of how he uses that power and control for our benefit. It's not to say we don't have a world that wrong things happen in our world. It's true. It's evidence of the fact that this world isn't quite the way it was originally meant to be, right? And that's what the Bible uses the word sin to describe a rebellion, the ways in which we've broken what God has graciously given to us. But even in a sinful world, there's evidence of a gracious God. Not a random God, a capricious God, but a gracious God. Matthew 5:45 says this, "For the Lord makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Do you get that? The Bible is saying even in a world where there's people who directly reject him and don't listen to him, God is still showing grace. It's like God saying, look, I'm still sending you rain and sun. I hope you get your act together before it's too late. That is grace. This is an example of the general goodness and favor of the Lord. So we can talk about this grace of the Lord being with us in very general ways, but I think we should really zero in on how the grace of the Lord shows itself to us in very specific ways. And I think that comes out by the fact that we here are talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses don't just say the grace of the Lord, the grace of the Lord God, but particularly emphasizes the second person of the Trinity, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you think of Jesus, that makes us think very specifically of grace, of specific application of the grace. That the second person of the Trinity, that Jesus, makes us think of how God is acting graciously to save us. To save us. The grace of the Lord Jesus should make us think of how we experience this grace in our salvation. What are the ways in which we experience that? I mean, let's run through it. I mean, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus to choose us for himself. Right? Before the foundations of the world, God chooses us for himself. Analogy I often use is think of Jesus walking into the agency, and in the back of the filing cabinet, in the very back in the file is us, the people that know this agency doesn't want to give out to anyone. You don't want to take them home, right? We have in that, on our files, it says prone to disobedience, prone to running away, prone to blame you for things that are their own problems. You don't want this, right? It's wrapped up in yellow tape. The grace of the Lord Jesus is that he saw that, reached into the back of the filing cabinet, it's far back there, and pulled us out, ripped off all the tape, saw all the warning signs, and said, nope, I'm still choosing them. That's specific grace, the grace to save us by first choosing us before the foundations of the world. It's also the grace to atone for our sin. That the story of the Bible is that from the very beginning, we have rebelled against God. We have sinned against God. We should face judgment. The grace of the Lord Jesus brings attention to the fact that Jesus instead takes our place. Rather than judgment falling on us, he says, I'll pay the penalty. I'll pay the fine. He puts himself on the line to free us from our sin. Let's judgment fall on him rather than on us. That's the grace, specific grace of the Lord Jesus, atoning for our sin. Think of his grace to justify us and redeem us. that he pays the penalty for our sin and then makes it so that we can be declared not guilty. We might be redeemed. We might be freed from the prison of our own sin and rebellion. Think of his grace to then adopt us into his family. We were the rebels and the criminals, and instead we become the treasured sons and daughters of God. That's the grace of Jesus, isn't it? Think of the grace of Jesus to give us the faith to understand, even believe all this. I mean, the other thing I just mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we should still be like, no. I'm still doing what I want to do. The fact that you can believe and understand this is the grace of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That's how much he pursues you and loves you. Think of his grace to then sanctify us. He gives us faith to believe we become part of his family. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus to then help us be more like what we have been made to be, part of his family, that more and more we can be in the ways that Jesus is like. Think of his grace as it applies then to glorify us, that the completion of this salvation process is us being made as we were originally meant to be, even more so, that we will be able to give glory and attention to the Lord God for what he's done in and through Jesus. We will shine with all the evidence of the transformation that he will have accomplished at the end of time. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus. So you think of this specifically, his grace towards us. What that should do to you is it should fill you with awe. That every day is a chance to just be awed. Like, wow. Like, just think about like the times you've been awed by something, like your mouth has dropped open. Right? This is one of those things your mouth will always, I think the more you grow in your faith, the more your mouth draws open the fact that this grace of God, the grace of Jesus, was extended to you in this way. It definitely fills you with thanksgiving, that understanding this grace of the Lord Jesus should make us live thankfully. Thankfully that God would do this, that Jesus would do this. It should certainly give us humility. It gives us a certain perspective, doesn't it? We're not all that. And we never were going to be all that. And yet Jesus makes us all that. It's the grace of Jesus, isn't it? If you're not a Christian, what I want you to hear is this specific mention of the grace of Jesus. I want you to hear this as an invitation to you to come and receive this grace. Yeah, I was talking about the general grace of the Lord. And I want you to understand, this general grace of the Lord is been given and extended to you to help you realize like that there's not a random God out there, that your life isn't an accident. The general grace of the Lord is a way to point you to the Lord, but the invitation is into the specific grace, into the very particular ways in which God wants to show goodness and favor to you. Think of the general grace of the Lord as being invited to the front porch, and there's some great front porches. But the real party is inside the house. And what the Lord wants you to do is to come into his house. There's great things that you've experienced at that porch, but I want you to hear everything I've been mentioning today is an invitation to come into the house and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that's grace that you can receive simply by trust and faith in him. Why don't you step in so that this blessing, the grace of the Lord, might become the grace of the Lord Jesus in your life. The last thing I want to mention here is how we are meant to then live within and out of the grace of the Lord. So look again at that language in all those verses. It says the grace, each one of them say, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, or be with you all. That sense of being, you know, it should make you think of that this blessing is meant to be one that we live within, that we live a life that should be filled. Almost imagine you're swimming in this reservoir of the grace of the Lord. Your soul is meant to function out of grace. Your life is meant to function and operate out of grace. So then you engage people out of an abundance of grace. So if grace is goodness and favor, think of a life, a soul filled with the grace and favor that you be in grace, you are in grace, you live in grace. So the goodness and favor of the Lord, I mean, again, all the things that we've been talking about this whole series, think of your soul being filled with with joy and peace, with compassion and understanding, with eternal security, with truth, with wisdom, with love. To be in that and to live out of that. So what would that mean? Think of grace being with you to help you listen to and joyfully obey God's word. That you've been given the grace of the Lord so that you look at this Bible and it's not just like meaningless to you, but like it makes sense, but even more so, the grace of the Lord being with you, the Lord Jesus being with you, helps you to hear it and obey it. You really can. Like, you really can. Receive that blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus, so you might hear and joyfully obey his word. Think of the grace being with you as you fight with a family member. We all have fights with family members, but as a Christian, to have the grace of the Lord be with you makes you approach that very differently. It makes you know how to handle that and know how to restore things when things go wrong. Think of how the grace of the Lord Jesus might be with you as you navigate relationships with your boss or coworkers or clients. How you think of, because you live in goodness and favor, like you got more than enough to extend goodness and favor to those type of relationships in ways that might point them to the God of grace. I mean, those are some general things, but I'm going to think of some examples that come from this specific moment that I was thinking about and jotted down. Think of how the grace of the Lord Jesus might be with you if you happen to be quarantined at home right now. One of the things that's happening over these last few weeks is I was talking to some people about this, how, you know, particularly for Arizona, like this coronavirus is coming closer to home, right? It's 1 degree of separation at this point. So we know people who got sick, but immediately got better. I know one person who's gotten really, really sick. And that's scary to get really, really sick. And so if you've been exposed in any way, you might be quarantined for the next 2 weeks. Think of how the grace of the Lord Jesus, being in the grace of the Lord Jesus, helps you navigate that. That makes a difference, doesn't it? How God's goodness and favor, and I think the significance of grace is how it operates, even in a world that is not operating the way it should, how we can still experience his goodness and favor. Because it's goodness and favor to save us and to keep us safe. It's goodness and favor that promises to bring us to a final end that is glorious. All that is true, even if you got to be quarantined at home. Think of how the grace would be, think of how grace is with you as you might be attending a protest or a rally right now. I know a number of you are involved in different things, and I'm thankful that, I mean, because we as Christians, and particularly here at Roosevelt, we're city servants, right? And so we want to be out being salt and light in our community. Like, we don't just stay in this building when there's things happening in our country, in our world. So I'm thankful many of you are thinking and active in this way. But we go out being grace-motivated. That's another word of our values. Think of the significance of being in grace as you're at a rally or a protest, that at the various things that are going on, there's a lot of feelings and emotions, other things going on. What better place for Christians to be than in the midst of those things, but operating out of grace? Think of how God, a deep sense of God's goodness and favor helps us speak to things that need to be spoken to, that how we as Christians, and this has been true historically, and so it's true certainly now, how this blessing of the grace of the Lord Jesus might especially help us lead in this moment in key areas and speak to things and bring attention to things that allow us to look to the Lord in the ways that we really need to, that will ultimately bring the healing that we ultimately want all around us in our country. Think of how grace might be with you if you're working right now and you've been designated an essential worker. I know a number of you have been designated essential workers. And yeah, the more time goes on and the more I feel the burden of that. To be an essential worker means you have to be out there and everything's changing week by week. How do you think through that? How do you operate out of that? There's a lot of unknowns in that. Here's one clear known. The grace of the Lord Jesus can be with you in that. In those times, as you're working as an essential worker, the grace of the Lord Jesus to be with you, to protect you, and to give you a sense of peace and comfort. The grace of the Lord Jesus to be with you, even if you were to get sick. The grace of the Lord Jesus to be with you, knowing where your final end is, no matter what happens. Think of the grace of the Lord Jesus being with you. If you are just anxious and unsure and uncertain about what's going to be happening over the next few months, if you're like me and you're a parent and you're hearing all these things about school and about work, there's a lot to figure out. And you got to figure it out. Like, there's no, you have to, right? You got to work it out. But for me, I've said I want to do it out of a sense of the Lord present in my life. And here's a starting point. He's present with me in grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with me as I think and pray and plan and wonder about what's happening over these next few months. There's a difference that happens when you realize all that comes out of understanding God's goodness and favor is deeply present in your life. It helps you, helps you know that when you talk to the Lord, he's going to listen. It helps you know that as you plan, that he's with you. It helps you know that ultimately all things work together for his good, for our good. His good being our good in our life, because he has called us and drawn us to himself. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What a great blessing for us. What a blessing for us to say that to those around us. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. What a blessing to receive from other people. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Because it's grace, I have no problem saying, Lord God, give us more of it. Because it's a gift, we recognize that all we're doing is asking. And praise God, we know he is generous to give. May that grace be more and more present for us now in all the days to come. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this time, for Jesus, for all the ways in which we receive grace and extend grace. And so what better benediction for us to end this series with than the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, be with us all. Lord, we have a lot of examples of uncertainty, a lot of difficulties and trials. I pray that in the midst of all that, we still see you present and among us and with us. I pray for those, Lord, who every day are experiencing your general grace, I pray they would experience this very specific grace. You would reveal yourself specifically to them in Jesus, that you would call them to yourself, give them faith, and help them step in to the wonders and the joy and the awesomeness of the grace of God, specifically in Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, we would be in grace. Fill our souls with your goodness and favor in a way that would make a difference in all the different things that we're involved with in doing, but especially in this moment. Lord, may we, may the church in general, but this church specifically, Roosevelt, be known as people who are out in the world operating out of grace, speaking of grace, acting in grace, leading towards grace. And Lord, may you do wonderful things out of that, Lord. All that, Lord, depends on you filling us with the grace that we want to extend, the grace that we want to speak of in this world only happens because it comes from you. And so, Lord, give us more of your grace. Help us to see it and discern it. Fill us more with goodness and favor. May we be generous in extending it to others. Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior. Bless us with your grace in every way, we pray. Amen.